Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
Know your rights in a state of emergency. We must know our rights and then balance those rights in the context of a real emergency. We're going to be talking about this on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Holly Mead. We have prepared a two-page document that says, Know Your Rights in a State of Emergency. And understand that many of these things that we're now seeing in the context of the coronavirus, they have never been tested in court. The only things that have ever been tested in court historically are states of emergency, and there's been very few that have reached the U.S. Supreme Court. In the context of war, in the context of some kind of open rebellion, like during the Civil War. And so consequently, nothing has ever been of this magnitude. We're walking into new ground that has never been tested at the U.S. Supreme Court or, frankly, in any court when it comes to the context of an emergency.
And I know a lot of people are just aren't sure what to do. They, you know, they're on both sides of the fence or they're confused. We've had pastors call us asking, should I meet? Should I not meet? The governor has put out this executive order. I'm not sure what to do.
Yeah, we have a lot of those. We, you know, in addition to our work that we have ongoing, which, by the way, we can't stop our other legal work.
Right.
It's going on whether we have a coronavirus or not, or whether we have a state of emergency in a particular state or a national emergency or not. We still have to continue all of those cases that are in court. In addition to that, we have been inundated from pastors and others asking, what should we do with regards to our churches? What should we do with regards to the restrictions on our jobs? And we've had different things we've had to walk through.
Yeah, because people don't want to put anyone at risk, but yet we don't want our religious freedom to be squashed either.
Yeah, so for example, for churches, you know, there in one particular state, and these things change. I won't name a state because that's one of the problems. They change rapidly. Mm-hmm. And they change without any input from the legislature. None of these executive orders have ever been discussed, presented, debated in a state legislature. None of them have ever been discussed typically in a local government body. They have come either through the governors of the states or through the mayors. That itself is a problem because they haven't been constitutionally vetted. They haven't been vetted with other ideas. They haven't been debated, and the people haven't been able to talk about them. Frankly, it is startling to see the laws on the books in many of these states, because the laws on the books in some of these states are breathtakingly broad. And we have been collecting the laws of the various states, and we also have been collecting the executive orders in the various states to keep up with them. The problem is that some of the state laws actually purport to give the state the power to quarantine, to shut down businesses. In some states, some of the state laws give the power to confiscate private property without any compensation for public use.
You know, here's a question, Matt, we should talk about. You know, can the government make emergency orders effective immediately? We're seeing that happen, as you said. Is that really constitutional? Can the government do that?
Well, technically, yes. Again, understand a lot of these have not been tested in court, and I suspect some of these will be tested in court. Technically, you can do something if the emergency actually requires that kind of lack of notice. But here's the thing. Let's look at constitutionally. First of all, the Constitution is not just simply gutted during a state of emergency. We still have the Constitution.
We don't throw it out the window.
We don't
right?
throw it out the window.
Yeah.
So while there are certain temporary restrictions, they have to be, if you're dealing with a constitutional right like freedom of speech or freedom of religion, church meetings, the government has to have a compelling interest. Now, in this case, the government could argue it has a compelling interest, but it has to achieve that interest in the least restrictive means available. In other words, if there's 10 ways to achieve their interest, in this case, stop the spread of a virus, And they chose one through nine options. But number 10 is a lesser restrictive means. In other words, it achieves their interest of restricting the spread of the virus, but it protects the maximum amount of freedom. If they don't choose that as an option, it's unconstitutional. Even, I say, in a state of emergency, we still have the constitutional rights. And that's the problem. Some of this analysis is not being done by these governors as they impose these restrictions. And those have to be considered on a case-by-case basis.
Right, because it's concerning some of those we may not get back.
It's concerning that once you restrict a freedom, is the government in a particular state going to be now content with keeping that freedom restricted? Right. And then if they're going to do it for this, what are they going to do it for next? So technically, yes, they can do these emergency orders. The problem is that the Constitution and the courts recognize some kind of fair notice. I don't think it was fair notice in Florida to bring out an executive order and within a couple of hours later, say by 5 o'clock, the restaurants had to close unless you had carry out or you had takeout. That's not a reasonable notice. It's not like the armies were advancing and they're 2 hours away from our city and therefore things need to shut down. We have no choice. We're giving you all the notice possible. And that was done in a state of 20 million people. I'm just using this as an example. At the time when it was done, 20 million people and 12 deaths. Now, in Florida, there are about 10 to 12 automobile accidents every single day, 365 days a year, in which there's a fatality.
So do we shut down the roads as
so
well?
So do we shut down roads? So when, I'm not going to compare the coronavirus with auto accidents
right.
or anything else, but I'm just talking to you about when you're looking at numbers and you compare the numbers of the coronavirus against anything else or many other things, do these emergency restrictions and the breadth of them, do they match the threat of the virus? Or are these so-called cures or attempted actions to curb the virus worse than the threat itself?
Right, because by contrast, you look at all the people who's been affected, their livelihoods. You shut down a restaurant within 2 hours, there's a lot of income loss automatically.
Here's a thought that, it's just not debated, but I can just tell you that it'll happen. When you take somebody's job with very little notice, particularly for men, but also for women, but I know, having worked in workers' compensation, a lot of men get their self-worth from their job. And if they are their primary provider in some cases, and they lose their job, they get stressed over how are they going to prepare and take care of their family. Mm-hmm. But also you have homes in which there's spousal tension and there's tension between the kids and the parents. Now the kids are at home. They live in an apartment. They have no income now. The stress level goes up. You watch these things on TV. I have no doubt that this will increase suicides, that it'll increase domestic violence, that it'll increase child abuse. God forbid, but these are the natural consequences of doing these kinds of things. After the stock market crash years ago, suicides increased. After 9/11, suicides increased. I think we have to be careful. And we have to think through what we're doing in response. Yes, we need to take the virus seriously to do what we can in reasonable ways to stop it, to curb it. We need to pray as a church to come against it. Prayer is a mighty, powerful weapon against anything, including this virus.
And speaking hope and truth in the gospel to people when they desperately need it right now.
We've got to. The church has to speak hope and truth and the some churches have just simply closed their doors, and they're not doing a lot of thinking outside the box. Others are operating in different states. It has different restrictions based upon the state, and in some cases, the local government. But in some cases, churches, even where they've decided voluntarily in some cases to operate online, in other cases, because they are operating under these mandates that restrict the number of people, even then, whether those are constitutional or not, it's another whole matter. Those, again, have never been tested. But churches and pastors, church leaders ought to think outside the box.
Right,
Christians ought to think outside the box. And this is a time to ultimately think outside the box, to not be intimidated or fearful, but to take hope and peace to the community around us.
Amen. And so many people depend on those food pantries and things that the church offers.
Think about homeless. Where are they going to go?
Yeah.
You know, there's so many things that we can do as the church, and I encourage you to do so. Go to lc.org to take the survey. We really want to hear from you. And also, you can download the 2-page memo on knowing your legal rights, lc.org.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org, where you can obtain email alerts and other information to keep you informed and involved. lc.org.